We are continuing to develop a new 1,000-bed ICE processing center in the Houston area under a new 10-year contract we were awarded by ICE last year.
That's the sound of a phone call from an executive with GEO Group Incorporated. It's one of the biggest private companies that operates prisons, jails, rehabilitation facilities, and migrant detention facilities. GEO Group is a publicly traded company, and the takeaway, or really anybody interested in this stuff, was able to access this call, which was recorded in April, between GEO Group's executives and their investors.
What does the increase in Southwest border crossings mean for your business, and does the elevated occupancy of detainees within your facilities increase the likelihood of new contracts from ICE?
Well, there's been a steady increase in illegal border crossings, and it, I guess, parallels the steady increase of the census in our ICE facilities. And we expect that to continue to increase our occupancies and present opportunities for new facility contracts.
Illegal border crossings are up slightly from this time last year, but I do want to point out again that overall, they have dropped significantly over the last two decades. According to the GEO Group's annual report, the company made nearly $2.3 billion of total revenues in 2017 with their entire operation. And this election year, they've made political contributions to at least two congressmen from Texas who sit on the House Appropriations Homeland Security Subcommittee. And that subcommittee funds private immigration detention centers. I'm Tanzina Vega, and today on The Takeaway, who actually profits from immigration detention? Let's follow the money. Now let's take a step back. After intense pressure from the public and the media, President Trump reversed his own administration's policy yesterday to end family separation at the border. But it would still allow for the detention of children. They would remain detained with their parents. And the administration has not yet said whether the 2,300 children who were already separated from their parents would be reunited. But whether it be children or adults, there is significant increase in the number of people in immigration detention centers. And with that, companies stand to profit. Here to help us understand all this is Bianca Tylek, director of the Corrections Accountability Project.
One of the big draws of privatization, other than, you know, all the common misconceptions, we can do this cheaper, we can do this more efficiently, and all these things, is that it's really easy for private companies that are particularly abusive and exploitive to walk into spaces where people have fewer and fewer rights on a consistent basis. And so for the private sector in this space, they move into spaces quite effectively in places where people are not protected by the same level of laws and people are less likely to be sympathetic.
So we're talking about, I mean, there are many companies involved in this, but we're looking at CoreCivic and GEO Group. They are two of the largest and biggest for-profit entities. And just to be clear, there are also nonprofit entities that are involved in this space, as we're seeing as well. When we think about CoreCivic and GEO Group, what's their reputation when it comes to immigrant detention?
Okay, so CoreCivic and GEO Group are the single largest holders of immigrants in detention. About 40% of each of their businesses, slightly more than that, is actually federal contracts. And a large part of that is ICE and U.S. Marshals, but is essentially all these immigrants who are in detention. In fact, 65% of ICE beds are privatized. And so obviously, a big piece of that is being held at CoreCivic and GEO. Together, their revenues are over $350 million in 2017 for ICE detention alone. And their reputation, kind of largely on immigration and otherwise, stems back to a lot of exploitation and abuse, and they're consistently being sued on for different reasons and different violations of human rights. There's a case right now that's out around their employment, and I use that word very, very loosely, of immigrants in their detention centers for $1 a day. And these are people who are there for civil laws, right, not for criminal laws. And all of that simply helps these companies because it offsets their cost of running their facilities.
So, Bianca, you heard the call that we played at the top of the segment between investors and executives at the GEO Group. What's your response to that?
It's been long known that one of the things that these companies depend on, like Geo Group, are really stringent immigration laws, really stringent criminal laws. In fact, if you read their annual report, the risks that they list to their business are legalization of marijuana, immigration reform, and actually, I think one of the most interesting is one of their risks to their business is actually a reduction in crime. Their business model really depends on the loss of freedom of people, right? And so they rely on all of these laws that are particularly stringent, tough on crime and tough immigration laws, and actually play a deep role in creating them in the first place for their business. And so one interesting example, other than their annual report, which clearly states exactly what serves as risks to their business, last year there was a presentation, their sort of investor presentation that they give every few months. In, I want to say, June of 2017, they had already stated that they were looking forward to the executive order that will stop catch and release, which is interesting because we're now talking about that as something that came into effect a few weeks ago. And it was something that they were planning on a year ago, right? And they had already had information and a deep understanding of what exactly this administration was going to do to benefit their business model. And they have actually dramatically increased the number of beds. In fact, DHS stated that they would increase the number of beds in immigration detention by almost 500%. And we are now in that place where, on a daily basis, Geo Group or CoreCivic are holding roughly 15,000 people in immigration detention.
So the question I think that folks who think, who agree with these policies would say one of two things. First of all, we need law and order. These laws are important, right? If people are breaking the law, then they need to be detained. That's question number one. Question number two is, I think, you know, someone needs to do it, right? Someone needs to, we need a place to put people who have broken the law. What is the difference between that and what's happening on the ground?
It's interesting because your question, the two questions can sort of almost be answered together, which is that what people don't understand is that so much of what we believe is a crime in this country is actually dictated by corporate interest. And a good example of that is the legalization of marijuana. The three biggest lobbies against the legalization of marijuana are alcohol, pharmaceuticals, and private prisons. And so the same thing happens on immigration. They play a big role and they've lobbied, used a ton of money to lobby around immigration, which is super important and has dictated a lot of the ways, the directions in which immigration comes. I mean, like, let's not forget, they wildly invested in this particular administration.
When you say invested in, you mean donated to?
Correct. Donated to, contributed to. In fact, private prison companies were, that industry was the single largest winner in the market on November 9th in 2016. Their stocks went up over 60%.
And we're talking about whose stocks?
Specifically CoreCivic and Geo Group. And so those two, their stocks, like I said, were the most winning stocks on the stock market the following day.
So I want to pivot for a second with that in mind to what's happening on the ground today at the border with these images and the separation of, well, up until yesterday. I mean, we know this could change on a dime, but there have been more than 2,000 children placed in these detention facilities. Do we know how much the Trump administration is spending on these detention facilities? And if so, who won these contracts and essentially at what cost?
So I want to be a little clear. Children are not necessarily being held in some of the same types of detention facilities. A lot of the detention facilities that we're talking about, some of the family detention facilities are privatized, are largely privatized, and certainly all the immigration detention facilities are not all, but a very significant portion have been privatized. Where the children are being held has been differing reports in which, you know, we're not on the ground there in Texas and Arizona and California, where the majority of these families and children are being held. But some are being held at nonprofits. And in theory, the children are also supposed to be going to HHS. And so, but with that said, in terms of like who's benefiting from these facilities and how much the federal government is spending, again, I would say there's been several new contracts that have been given out to largely like some nonprofits. There's a nonprofit called Southwest Key that is running one of the big facilities down there.
And how big is that contract? Because I was surprised to see that there were nonprofits involved mm-hmm. in this issue. I mean, right. In some ways I understand it because I'm assuming that these organizations have social services elements, yeah. mm-hmm. but at the same time—
And that contract for the children is not going to be with the Department of Homeland Security in the way that the one for parents or the immigration detention will be. It's largely with HHS, right, with the health department. But the other facilities where you're holding like either family detention or immigration detention with the parents and all of those, we do know that at least CoreCivic and GEO in 2017 pocketed more than $350 million for like specifically for ICE detention. And so while I don't know precisely what the contract is for Southwest Key, even though I saw something about a $450 million like contract and a few others, we do know that there's a ton of money being spent.
The latest iteration of this policy, yesterday the president essentially rolled back some of the policy of family-child separation. But now, from my understanding, the families are going to be detained together, but they'll still be detained, which means that these centers will continue to exist. Correct?
That's correct. And so that's, you know, that's one of the reasons you'll probably be seeing a lot of things going around through the advocacy circles and on the news about, you know, the solution to separation of families is not family detention. But that's exactly what is going to happen at this point. Children will be allowed to remain with their parents. But the children will still be in detention.
And by extension, will that mean that because they're not in separate children facilities, will that mean that they'll be in these immigration detention facilities that are run by these larger companies, not
Correct.
Nonprofits?
Right. And so they have what we call family detention centers, and a lot of those are run by private entities.
Bianca Tylik is the director of the Corrections Accountability Project. Bianca, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
We reached out to GEO Group for comment and have not yet heard back.